All right, ladies and gentlemen, I think it's great that we're getting the real deal, facts. Oh, I forgot to mention to you, the Georgia Budget and Policy Institute. I know a lot of you have heard me talk about them before, and so you recall. But for those of you who may have heard me speak with someone from that agency for the first time, that is a nonpartisan organization. And I forgot to mention that when I first started speaking with Melissa Johnson today. I normally point that out. I remember to point that out because I want you to know that I want everyone to be as comfortable as you possibly can be when we're talking about matters of economics, politics, etc. Because I want you to know that when I'm speaking with someone who represents an agency, or I'm speaking solo about information that I have gathered from an organization, coming from the perspective of a nonpartisan organization, so that regardless of what party affiliation those of you in the listening community may have, you can feel comfortable, relaxed, just listening, and because you'll know you're not getting information from the perspective of any given party. And I'm not saying that you should not get information from the perspective of a given party. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is I recognize and honor the fact that we have people of various political persuasions who listen to this program, and partly because I really personally like getting information that I believe is factual and true. I definitely look for that when I'm doing my research, but also I know that there's an increased chance, not necessarily a guarantee, but an increased chance that those of you who are listening will at least consider that the information that you're being given is factual and true if you know that it is not coming from the perspective of a particular party. It could be factual and true if it's coming from a given party, but I know a lot of people won't consider that as factual or true if it's coming from a particular party. And so I prefer to share information that's coming from a nonpartisan organization. As I've said before, sometimes I share information that comes from a bipartisan organization, but probably over 90% of the time, it will be nonpartisan. So we're hearing that it can be good for the state. Good for everyone, not only for the women who receive the increased pay, but also for the businesses where they will take some of that increased pay as they buy things for the household. Therefore, making it good for the businesses. And of course, they're making more money at some point, even if it's just through the purchases, they're paying more taxes. And that's good for the state's economy. State budget. Everyone's winning. More food, clothes, school supplies in the household, more money being brought to those stores as those products are purchased. Those companies are collecting whatever needs to be collected by way of taxes, and that goes to the government coffers. Everyone is benefiting, like Melissa said. Everyone is benefiting. And there's no need to be upset about a win-win-win situation. We should be happy about that. All right, so let's take a look at what's happening. I guess you could say a little bit more on a national level. I say a little bit more on a national level because there's no question that what we just talked about on the state level can also pertain to the national level. But this particular conversation discussion that we'll have now is national in intent. It has to do again with Pew Research's look at how the Latino community across the nation feels about their personal financial situation and the nation's overall economic situation. We've been talking about how overall they feel pretty positive. Now, here's the thing to consider too, though. The median household income for Hispanics has actually stagnated since the Great Recession. In 2014, it was about $42,491, which is a level essentially unchanged since the Great Recession. Income has also little changed among the U.S. public in general. And according to the latest Census Bureau data, that's where we are. In addition, the same Census Bureau report shows that the Hispanic poverty rate, which was 23.6% in 2014, is less than its peak of 26.5% in 2010, but it does remain above pre-recession levels, as it does for all Americans. When it comes to wealth, Hispanic households had the largest percentage decline in their net worth through 2009 of any major racial or ethnic group. Unlike white households, however, their net worth continued to fall after the recession. That recession really did us a job. It really did. There are some people who, in some groups, who have not recovered yet because that recession went so deep and there were some decisions made, business policies, etc., that are still having a negative impact on a lot of people. Not to mention that housing debacle that is still having a negative impact on people. Nonetheless, Hispanics remain upbeat about national economic conditions. According to a December 2015 Pew Research Center survey of U.S. adults, 35% of Hispanics said that economic conditions today are good or excellent. That's a higher share than among whites, where only 25% said the same thing. And the same survey shows that 34% of Hispanics say that U.S. economic conditions will be better in the coming year, which is a share about twice as high as seen among other groups of Americans. Where are you with that? When it comes to the nation's economy, are you fairly positive about it? Do you think that it's looking pretty grim? It's going to get grimmer. I'll be right back.